This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, voicemail lady. This is Michael, Monday, October 2nd. We have Mike Reynolds, Mei Hung, Steve Margano, Mike Sessa, Alex Jackal, and we're missing our fearless leader, Michael Morris. I'm not exactly sure where he is, but I know the call was held last week and I only had a handful of folks dialing in. I was in Brussels, so I couldn't do all the reminders and stuff, but... Alex said he needs to leave in a few minutes, and without Michael here, going over the specific Jason bits and bytes, maybe we could use just 10 minutes and talk about sort of the effort in general. You know, we had talked about doing it collaboratively with A4L. Alex, I'm not sure if you had any conversations with
Larry. Yeah, I've had a few. I have, and Larry was sort of, oh, my God, I'm too busy to think about this, right, was kind of his response, right? But that being said, he was definitely for the idea, right? So he was definitely not negative to it. He just didn't have any CPU cycles to process, right? So I think the thing I would ask you to think about, Mike, as the head of the infrastructure team in A4L, is to really, what would be the most useful way
joining the meeting
to act? Because you've got a set of
Michael Morris.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Sorry, guys.
There he is.
Hi, Michael. We were just going over some of the logistics, like with SIF, with A4L, and Alex was telling us he had a conversation with Larry. Larry's up for it, and then he—that's really all he got. So, I'll backtrack in a second. But go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was just saying. I think the thing that would be useful, Mike, is if you could think about what would be the most useful and low bar of entry way for us to have our teams work together, right, on trying to come up with a cohesive approach to this issue of XML and JSON and how they impact the standards. I don't know if you have any off-the-cuff thoughts about that, Mike, but that would be a good thing for us to think about, and whether it's combined meetings or what kind of combined, you know, how can we talk to each other asynchronously? Do we invite past members to the A4L community group, or do we invite the A4L members into this group? Or how do we, I think the logistics of how we work together, I think, would be one thing to quickly solve. And I think the idea of us working together, I think, has buy-in, I think, across the board. Mike, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree, Alex. I think that was just such a good meeting 2 weeks ago when I've forgotten their names now, Mike and John.
Mike and John
attended and really gave us some interesting insights into what they had tried and what had not succeeded, and the fact that they had tried this comprehensive solution in which they wanted XML and JSON and all to interoperate and exchange and go back and forth, and that basically failed.
Right.
And that's what we were thinking about, too. We were saying, okay, yeah, we got to mark the attributes in some way, either through annotation in Java or some other way so that we know their attributes so we can go from JSON back to. I think, you know, getting hung up in those kinds of approaches that we could have gone down that road too without their insights could have cost us a lot of time and ended up in the same place that they ended up. So I agree totally. We should probably try and join this thing together. My bias right now is, I think, you know, again, what we talked about originally is just a simple way of generating JSON from our XML until we can start developing Jason's standards directly. That's my opinion right now.
Michael, just to let you know, we have Alex on the line, Steve Margineau, Mei Hung, Mike Reynolds, you, and me.
Okay, great.
And Alex has to leave in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
But one of the things I was, Alex, as far as, you know, I think of this as, I'd like to sort of think about this in a different way. We have this inclination, we want to work together. What would be the output? Are we looking at a combined document? We don't know yet. Are we looking at something that might be a single document that says PESC and SIF did this? We are, and A4L, we are similar in these ways with Jason. This is what A4L does differently. This is what PESC does differently. But it's,
here's what I,
it's a combined document. You know, that's what I'm,
I, no, I don't think so. I think this is what we want. And I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm just trying to make sure before I have to leave, I get this thought.
I promise.
I apologize,
yeah.
Michael. Yeah. I think what we want is what I imagine is coming up with a design approach document that's relatively generic, that basically says this is the approach we're taking, right? We're not going to do a wholesale, full-scale, you know, blob XML to JSON and back conversion thing. Rather, what we're going to do is use these design principles with our standard. We're going to use these design principles when we're doing XML to JSON conversion, and we're going to use these constraints and these design parameters when we're ingesting JSON, and we may or may not have actual specs in JSON. We may or may not. And like those kind of like almost like a intention document. This is our design approach. This is our intention. And then I think that's a shared document. That's something we can create together and come to agreement on together. And then there would be two separate documents, which is this is how A4L is executing that, and this is how PESC is executing that. And the reason I think those two should be, the execution document should be separate, is because otherwise we could spend a lot of time parsing words and, right. and because of subtle differences in how our standards work and how the specs work, right? And I think that's just not a useful use of time, right? I think if we can come to agreement on the design approach and then apply that in two separate documents and have the design approach document be the shared one, and then have A4L own its execution document and PESC own its execution document. What do you guys think?
I personally love that approach because that answers a number of questions for me, and it answers a number of questions for Michael and for Mike Reynolds and for John. You know, just what you said is, do we invite PESC people here or, you know, A4L people there? You know, if we tackle the first design principles, you know, maybe we can do this on this call and knock that out. I mean, I don't want to say in a month, but we could get some design principles down pretty fast, and then A4L can form its groups and do what it needs to do for that second document, and PESC will continue on Mondays at 1. But that answers the question is we need to work together for the short time, hand in hand, and then go off and do our own work and then come back.
So to take this out of the abstract, Alex, what? Give me an example of a design principle you think we could agree on.
Good God.
I know. But it is very abstract. You know, the notion of design.
No. I totally get what you mean. It could be that this is a design principle. Could be how we're going to handle attributes is we're going to turn them into sub elements of the element it's an attribute of, right? And we're not going to mark it as an attribute, right? That would be one.
Okay.
How we're going to handle lists, right? Is we're going to assume that every list is a matrix, and we're going to use this particular approach to turning the list into a JSON structure, an XML list into a JSON structure. It's something like that, right?
This is Mike Wright. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, hello. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I also know that I also have limited time and I wanted to say a couple things real quick. Hopefully I'm understandable through all the road noise that I'm sure y'all are hearing from me. but a couple things about that. Alex, I like the approach of taking it up a level from the implementation into something a little higher level. I think we might want to think about going a higher level still and just like a mission statement. I heard in the very beginning that the statement that, you know, April SIF went down a certain road for doing this and it was a failure. And I think that that's really more a statement based on what the mission, I don't think that we ever had a clear mission on what we were out to accomplish. As far as being able to transform stuff from JSON to XML and back again, that was technically, you know, that we did that and it's been fine for a number of years. It's when a new party comes in and looks at the JSON and says, oh, I wish it looked like this or like that, or it needs to be able to.
Joining the meeting.
John Lovell.
To be able to this or that, that wasn't part of what we were tasked with in the beginning. And so, to me, the biggest thing that we need to think about just right off the get-go is what the mission is that we're trying to accomplish so that we can address that. And definitely, I mean, far from going into the actual spec implementation or how we want to do it, is just what it is, how will we know if we've done good? You know, if we get right. done and we have a way to go losslessly between XML and JSON, is that good? Or is it good if we show the JSON, some subset of JSON community, the output and they don't retch a little bit? You know, is that success? Is it success if we show what we've done to the XML community and Alex doesn't want to retch? So I think part of it is just, you know, how do we define success? Is it a matter of, you know, having two different data formats and being able to, you know, follow a naive algorithm on going back and forth between them, or is it a mapping, you know, what are we after, I guess, is the main, before we even get into any kind of, you know, sub attributes going to sub elements, any list is this or that, it's just, is our goal to transform between XML and JSON and back again, and so that machine readers can do their thing, or is it more the human side of things where when we're demoing this in front of, you know, 10,000 people at some big conference, that half the JSON audience doesn't just get up and leave because the notion of doing what we've done, you know, makes them unhappy. So,
yeah, I'll just add to that, Mike, that one of the things we even considered is, you know, how much do people want JSON and how much do people want API libraries? Because, you know, perhaps you turn to a developer and say, here you go, just use it. And how far does that get you versus clean JSON?
This is Michael. I'll jump in. And, John, thanks for joining. Just to let you know, we have Alex and Michael Morris and me, Steve Margano, Mei Hung, on the call. But what we were talking about is how do we move forward and what do A4L and PESC do? So we talked about sort of coming together to agree on high-level design principles and then from that developing a separate document for PESC and one for A4L on how you execute against those principles. And then Mike jumped in to say we need to step back and say, well, you know, what do we kind of need for – shouldn't we have a mission statement, which I agree to. And I think we should handle this like – I think we should handle this like a project. And in the mission statement, you articulate a very, you know, it could be short business case or business problem we're trying to solve so that we're all working off the same thing and that we understand. And to me, it's the right process to go. So, you know, you start with a mission. We all agree on it. We articulate a business problem, which then I think could lead into the trickier case. You know, Mike Morris asked for examples of design principles that we could agree on. That I don't know, but I like the start. Sounds like we have three steps: mission, design principles, and then executables.
Yeah, I think so too. And I 100% agree with that. I was jumping too fast ahead. I really do think the mission is important. And part of the problem is I think all of us would love, and one of the problems we're going to have with creating the mission statement is I think in an ideal world, all of us would love to have just the ability to just cleanly convert back and forth between JSON and XML as you needed to, right? And be able to round trip either XML or JSON as called for by either of any of the parties involved, right? That would be the absolute ideal, right? I think one of the things we're struggling with is that that may not be pragmatic and possible. And so we do have to, there's a little bit of where we have to jump back and forth between technical and the strategic, because we need to make sure that whatever our vision is not one that's going to, we're then going to end up being frustrated in, because it's not achievable is a strong word, but not practically achievable, right? I'm in 100% agreement. I think we should articulate what our mission statement is. And if it's not round trip JSON XML all working together like a happy kumbaya, manner, what's the next best thing? What's the thing below that? What is the acceptable thing for us to be successful at, right? And call it a victory. And to Mike's point, people have been doing back and forth conversions for a long time. It's just compromises are made, and not everyone agrees on which compromises are acceptable and which ones aren't, right? And that is the devil in the details that we have to work out, right?
And that'll feed into even the design principles, right? It's like, as we get to the design principles, it's like, okay, what's our most important design principle based on the mission statement? And then they go out from there, right? We've tried very hard to be all things to all people, and it's not working out. It's not that you can't have a JSON conversion that JSON developers like, and it's not that you can't have the conversion between XML and JSON that always just works and doesn't need to know very much about the data model. It doesn't need to know a little bit about the data model. It's that when you combine those two audiences, somebody is very, very unhappy with the results. And so, yeah, I think the mission statement's important, and then I think the design principles are going to have to be, somewhat hierarchical. First and foremost,
right,
we're trying to accomplish this, and then this and this, and then we would also
it may even be that we have two distinct and even contradictory use cases, right? It might be if you're building an app, right? Or, if you're building an app and all you want is JSON output to build a particular view in your app for the page, then you'll use these rules. If you're building two complex enterprise systems talking to each other, you'll use these rules, right? So it could even be, not that I'm excited about ever having two ways to do the same thing, because we all know the problems with that, right? But that may actually end up being a more realistic way to approach this, because then the people who really just want really basic, simple JSON, because part of the critique of XML is it's too complicated for most use cases. You don't need all that overhead, blah, 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 right? It might be that, we do really, to hit those two audiences effectively, we have to have two different sets of approaches. And then make sure whatever we build satisfies both approaches, right? And even that won't solve won't be everything for everyone, but at least then we'll be acknowledging the differences. And so I think that might end up, I'm not committed to that at all, by the way. I'm just saying that's a possible way it could turn out, is that we attack two distinct use cases with different rules and different approaches.
Mike Morris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm listening, just trying to take this all in, because I have to get rid of my biases, because I think, to me, I think we're moving to, in terms of exchange, moving to JSON, and I think that XML will slowly fade, but I could be very wrong about that. And so, you know, my bias would have been to put an emphasis on, let's make something that really, let's get involved with OpenAPI and all those sorts of things, and even think about how we exchange things. Right now, we've separated our messages from how they're transported, right, that made them independent. And that's historically going back to the original ISO 7-layered communication model. We've been doing that sort of thing, separating those concerns so they can be layered and independent. But what's happening now with web services is that people are specifying them, and right within, if you look at the response body, they're going to have a schema that says here's what that response body is and what it can be and what its constraints are. And so it's a really different model than we're having, because it's all involved with HTTP and gets and puts and posts. And so, yeah, I'm trying to get my head around this. Our original goal was the round trip. So if we look at our mission, you know, we said, yeah, we gotta mark these attributes as attributes because we have to have this so it can go round trip.
Right.
So I think we need to rethink that mission. And so I'm going to open that up. And I don't have a strong idea on what that mission is right now. So I'm going to listen to others and see what their opinion is.
And by the way, I have to leave in 2 minutes, but let me leave with these parting words. I think going with the idea of OpenAPI, like going with that approach, is, by the way, it is
leaving the meeting
a correct direction to go in. It's absolutely a correct direction to go in. And that's one thing that SIP has been looking at with doing with its XML. You don't even, you know, going to OpenAPI does not mean you have to, you know, I think that's absolutely the right way to go. And so I want to endorse that, and I don't want to in any way say I'm pre-setting the conversation so it has to go a particular way. To be totally true, even though I'm a somewhat of an XML fan, and I think JSON is a little bit of a toy, right, that's been turned into a tool by people because they can't handle anything more complicated. despite my belief of that, the truth is markup languages are markup languages are markup languages are markup languages, right? Frankly, if I get convinced that JSON is just the way everything's going to be done from now on, and which, by the way, will turn into JSON becoming XML in 2 years, right? It'll have all the complexities of XML because it's going to have to handle all the use cases, right? Which is fine. Then we'll write everything in JSON, and we'll do all our specs in JSON. But we'll end up being JSON LD extended X form 12 because it won't, you know, simple JSON won't handle all the use cases, but that's fine. Then we'll do JSON instead of XML, right? And then 5 years from now, we'll do Google Scholab.
Yeah.
Instead of JSON, right? So markup language is markup language is markup language. So I don't want anyone to think that I at least will put a barrier up because I'm ruthlessly and ideologically committed to XML. I just want to do the right thing, right? And I think the right thing is going with OpenAPI route. I think the right thing is for us to standardize as much as possible. And, however, my only concern is that we don't leave the enterprise use cases behind because we're too focused on simple use cases, because I think that will hurt us in the end. Because then people will start saying things like, these standards are so stupid and so simplistic, they can't handle what we need to do, right? And then we'll lose people that way, right? Okay, I have to go. This is a very interesting conversation. I don't know how it's going to all turn out, but it's very interesting. And I appreciate all the work and thinking people have been doing on it, and I have to go. Okay, I'll see you guys. Bye.
Take care, Alex. Thank you.
Leaving the meeting.
Thank you.
Alex Jackal.
Anybody want to start talking about the mission? What, starting with our original mission was to create a way that we could create JSON and do a translation from XML. And our original proposal was just take our XML instance document that had been approved by, had been validated by an XML schema and make that and create some JSON that, that somebody could use that would be useful. And we would certify that if they validated their XML instance document, then that would be a valid PESC schema, or PESC instance document. So,
right. You'd be able to take the JSON, convert it to XML, and validate the XML, correct?
No, you would take the, you would have to create, and that, this is where the problem comes in, because this use case may not be used at all, and that's why it, I think we were probably wrong in 2015, is, you know, we said, yeah, we just need to, we need to just do an XSLT or use Java to produce JSON. And then anybody can use that if they started with an instance document that was XML and it validated against its schema, then if they followed these rules, these translation rules, then that would be valid JSON for PESC. Now,
okay.
who's going to do that use case? That was the question. As I think about it now, who would do that use case? Who's actually going to go to the trouble of creating an XML instance document, validating it, and then converting to JSON? So I think that mission, the original mission we had in 2015, is flawed. The one of doing round trip, I think, you know, A4L's experience is, yes, you can do it, and technically it's feasible, but you can't satisfy all of the people all of the time with that solution. So,
you can't even come close.
So those two are the extremes, right? So what would the mission be? Would it be pointed toward the JSON developers and say, we want to produce something that they would really like? I mean, would that be the mission?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, right? Because I mean, I think both of those things that we laid out are really one end of the scale. Because I mean, that's what we set out to do when we looked at, well, can we do it better? Because we started to learn that in order to have that JSON be even consistent, right, how lists are represented, or you know, what happens when there's optional attributes, we use the Gosner set of rules. I don't know what you've used. You know, it's like, yeah, you can convert back and forth, but people don't like the JSON that comes out for, you know, one reason or another. Everything from, you know, it's inconsistent. You can't path over it consistently to, well, now I can path over it consistently, but it's far too verbose. My paths are huge. What are you doing to me? I think really the flip side would be, well, take the data models, abstract them somehow, and publish a bunch of stuff that's, you know, the JSON over the wire is the JSON over the wire. I think that's the other extreme, because then you can make the JSON look like whatever the JSON should look like, and it's based on an abstract data model, and you can't convert between the two. I think that's the other end of that extreme.
So the data model, but how would that data model be represented? I mean,
Well, and that's one of the reasons we didn't go that way, right? Because we start with XML currently. It was like, well, if we had this generic database or kind of database schema that we were working from, that would be one thing. But we don't. We have XML schema. That's our data model currently. So we really have to get from here to there. Let's go from here to there and not introduce a third thing. You know, and I'm not advocating that we do need to introduce a third thing, but it's something to keep in mind, right? If you're looking for the two extremes, you've got the XML just converted over, and then you, and blindly, really, and then you've got the other extreme where it's like, well, we needed good, clean JSON, so we defined good, clean JSON, and they both map onto the data model this way, but when the data model is not known in any as anything other than XML, that looks really, really odd.
So, and maybe perhaps who was speaking there? I lost track of
I'm that. Sorry. That was John Lowell from Access for Learning.
Oh, hi, John. Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Michael, what do you go by?
Michael, yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Two Michaels.
Lots of Michaels.
That really confuses. Yeah, we got two Michaels on the call, so that confuses things. You go by, yeah.
So
anyway. Yeah, John. Yeah, you're okay. Michael is a problem. All three of us. But, yeah, and getting back to that, that's one possible mission is just to produce, to take our schemas and our data model and produce a JSON data model, but that, you know, we tried some of that. We tried actually taking the schema and producing JSON schema, and that's really a hard problem. It can be done, but then the schema ends up looking more like XML, and I think you end up with the same same complicated stuff that you ended up with in that paper that we read, and I don't know. Because to make sure that if you added an attribute to something that didn't have an attribute, that you created a structure that would accommodate that, the notion of breaking
right.
changes. And,
right, and then you get those very
to
long
to accommodate path. All those breaking changes, you end up with JSON that's very complicated and has a whole new set of semantics. In terms of terms that have predefined meanings and that people have to interpret and understand. So, yeah, I understand. After reading that paper, I said, well, that's great. You can solve these problems. And you did solve the problems, which I thought was pretty good. But, and you can produce, so you make a change in the XML schema and the JSON will be fine. The programmer will still be able to, it'll be backward compatible in the program, and adding that attribute will not cause a problem. But then you're back to the messiness or the ugliness or the lengthy paths and all those sorts of things. So,
yeah, I mean,
I
for me, not being a JSON person, it's not that it's ugly; it's that it's rich like XML.
And they don't like richness, yeah.
No, they don't like it. They want to go, this dot, this dot, this, I got the data, I'm done.
Yeah, three dots and they got the data, right?
yeah. Just three dots, that's about their attention span.
Yeah. Yeah, so what, I mean, that's one mission is just a one-way production of JSON that the developers would like. What do people think of that approach?
Well, that sounds good to me, Michael. Is there anyone in the PESC audience, like Jerry Bracken, for instance, who's a big JSON proponent? Could he or some of his developers be of assistance on what they think good JSON looks like?
Yeah, that's what I think we need. Yeah, what would it look like? And can we create rules that would make that simple for them? Now, the question is, though, who's going to be starting from an XML document? I mean, you have to have an XML document to translate into JSON, right?
Well, okay, so that's another thing, another iteration we've been through, because we've actually got providers out there doing, like I say, to the Gosner notation, they're publishing JSON. And for that particular notation, there's a Java framework that'll work with it natively. So you can take our XML schema, you can, you know, turn it into a set of POJOs, you can load that into this framework, And then you can, from that, right, from really that data model that's in Java, even though it originated from the XSDs, from the XML schemas, you know, it'll produce on the fly the XML or the JSON. Now, we get back to the fact that the JSON developers go nuts because the JSON they get is actually inconsistent. You know, oh, there was nothing there, it's a null. Oh, there's something there, you've got a value. Oh, there's more than one thing there, you've got an array with two or more values in it. It's impossible to pass a path over. But, you know, there are situations where that kind of thing is being done as far as actually directly taking the XML and convert it. We've got, you know, middleware providers that do that currently, kind of infrastructure level pieces that they're trying to provide kind of a bridging surface between both worlds. So, I mean, that, we've got some of that on the ground. The problem we're having is it's not driving JSON adoption like we thought it would because they don't like the JSON. So, you know, what are we doing here? We're back to that. There's been a lot of well-intentioned people who have built things that do just that. Perhaps they're not the best examples because while there has been some JSON adoption that works off of those things, it has not been what we hoped.
Now, the Gessner notation is compared to the position paper, I don't know what to call that, that handled all the breaking. That actually produces simpler JSON than the second solution, right?
Right, but in that case, you've got to handle, like I said, like every time that there's a potential list, because it's completely data, actual true Gossner notation is data model unaware. So
right.
Every time you've got a list, you've actually got three use cases to check for, basically. Is it null, does it have a value, or is it an array of values? And you can code to that, and people have coded to that and handled that, but they don't like it because it's not this dot this dot this. It's a block of code to say, well, first of all, do I have a null? Okay, no. Second of all, do I have, you know, a value? Well, no. So then, do I have an array of values? Ah, yes. Now I'm going to work over that list of values. Yeah,
right.
It's not that it's not JSON. It's not that it doesn't work. It's not that you can't program to it. It's that it doesn't make JSON developers want to use our specification. It makes them want to not use our specification.
So I guess I'm still struggling with where we want to go with this and where you guys want to go, A4L folks, because,
well, I mean,
we have, what would you think a mission would be?
Well, I think we could pick one of three directions, right? We could just say, we're going to define how we're going to proactively publish what our data models in JSON look like, and people can write directly to those, right? Even if we had a translation scheme underneath, right, that could be, a really good goal. You know, what does that look like? Do we publish structures? Do we publish examples? Do we publish JSON schema? You know, that's one direction we could go in. Another direction would be that we say, okay, we realize that the problem is that we need a better translation. we could say we really want to stick to our guns. We want to translate back and forth because that's XML, that's who we are. We want it to work seamless with our existing, pieces. We just want to do a better job of it. That's a direction we could head in. Another direction we could head in, and of course these can all be up-leveled to a nice-sounding mission statement from their
right.
technical realities. And then another direction we could head in would be, the API approach. We could say, hey, the problem is getting developers to work with our code, and we should come up with a way to publish good you know, API libraries, which there's routes we can take, right? You can take your XML schema, you can combine it with a bunch of definitions around how that's wrapped with, you know, whatever the infrastructure pieces are. You can put them through things like, is it Swagger Code Gen? It's Swagger Code Gen. And, you know, produce APIs for like, you know, it's like 20 languages and 20 frameworks.
Right.
I mean, it all depends on how you look at it, what those numbers exactly are. And then we could say, hey, we know you're a JSON guy, but don't look at the JSON. Don't look at the XML. Just pick up this library and use it. Is that actually what we're getting at? Or is our mission to target, you know, software developers and make their job as easy as possible? Or is our mission to actually
Is he still there?
Yeah, I don't know. I lost John.
Yeah, he's gone.
I think he might have been traveling.
Yeah.
Right.
Switch cells.
I'm not sure.
Yep. So, I'm just still trying to get my head around this. So.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I was going to jump in and say, you know, we talked in the beginning about a three-stepped approach. You know, a mission, a combined document, and then an executables.
Right.
Is that a path we can at least use as a guiding light?
Yeah.
And now look at what we've produced. We could look at the parchment, you know, what they're doing with JSON, and see if there's anything to glean there.
And that was our intent, was to look at the rules that was using to produce JSON and see if we could come up with a simple translation, because that would make it easier for the programmers.
Is that something we should seriously follow up on? And I'm not sure what the exact word is, whether we are, you know, reverse engineering what Parchment has done or just documenting what they have done.
It's not what they've done. It's the tools that they've used. So they've defined a set of tools,
right?
And those tools do the translation for them.
Right.
So
but I'm saying what they've done, meaning everything they've done, whatever it is. It's tools. If they hire 50 more people, I'm just saying whatever they've done. Is that something we could actually put out there as a pilot to say this is something where you could do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. And once we've defined those rules, then anybody else could implement that without their code.
Because I'm just trying to think of not the path of least resistance, but we have a leading, you know, provider, leading PESC member,
right,
that's done something with JSON. Should we slap the title pilot on it and document it and use that as a guiding principle for PESC and say this is the direction we might want to go in? We're going to use parchment and now put documentation around and rules and publish that. And I'm not saying everybody's like Parchment, but I have no problem saying that either.
No, this is fair. I mean, given what we're doing with EdExchange, obviously that's what's driving all this. And the fact is, I don't know if they, I think they do have some customers that are actually using the JSON that they're producing as part of EdExchange, but I'm not sure. It's a question we need to ask. We don't have either.
Yeah, we don't have Sam on the call today.
Yeah. Sam, or who's the?
James is from California.
James, yeah, from CC. But Sam is, yeah, Alan from Parchment. Yeah, he's not on the call today. But maybe that's, you know, and that's what he's been pushing for, is the notion that, yeah, let's use this JAXP framework. And that's what I was planning on starting to do today, is just go through the rules and then see what happens when we run it through JAXP. If that, you know, can we determine what those relationships are? So take some simple cases, write some simple schemas, put it in JAXP, and see what comes out. And
well, I like your approach, and maybe that's our homework for next week, so that we give folks a week. We can maybe say we're looking at the Parchment model as a pilot, and we want to, on next Monday's call talk, start jump in with, I forget the exact word you used, Michael, was it rules?
Yeah, define the rules, the translation rules are being used by their solution.
Yeah.
Because
that sound like a good
approach? Something that's actually being done, being used. And, you know, those tools are configurable. So if we think, well, this produces really ugly stuff, maybe we should translate this a little bit or move it,
sure.
Change it a little bit.
Yeah. And what I would then do is let me document those three steps we talked about, and I can push that out over email.
Okay,
and I'll also
sure.
say for next Monday we're going to talk about the Parchment model. And I'll call it the Parchment approach.
Yep.
The Parchment approach, because that's more broad. Because, again, if one of our members is doing it already, let's look at what they're doing. I mean, if they're using
it. And they've combined it with EdExchange, so we have a transport model on top of it as well.
Right,
which is using, which is interesting, it's using RESTful Web Services, which is going back to the Open API. Now, their solution is a little different, is that it's a multi-request and not exactly stateless method, but that's because some of the payloads are really big and they don't want to people waiting, they want to make it asynchronous so that people don't have to wait around for the transcript to come back, for example.
Yeah.
That there's a two-way conversation that so you know when you're ready and then you can pull it back. But so yeah, I think if we can get Sam on the call next week, that would be helpful.
Okay, let me try. And the reason I don't mean to cut off conversation is we are approaching 5 minutes
right.
till the end of the meeting, and I just want to make sure you and I are in sync.
Yeah.
Because as the summit rolls up in 3 weeks, you know, we'll have more people. The Aqua Speedy Committee will be there. So I just want to have sort of us all on the same page so that if we, and documented, you know, this is our approach, 1, 2, 3. We're going to look at the Parchment approach. And whether it's, you know, I think one of the critical things we talked about is whether we're doing the full boat, the full ride, or one way, or response. And, you know, I think that will all come out, you know, as we go through the mission, you know, and talk about how we're going to move forward. So
exactly.
I'm ramping up, I guess is what I'm saying, is I think, you know, next week will be a good call, and then at the summit we'll have a lot more participation.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to make the summit, but I will make that call.
Yep.
Do you have a time for that yet?
Yep. It's on the website. Let me look quickly.
Okay, I'll look on the website.
Although I think I changed the time, so let me tell you, I need to post a new version. It's right here.
Just so I can schedule it on my calendar, because I got that week is hell.
I have it as 1:30 to 3 on Thursday, October 26th.
Toronto's on Eastern time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I should do it. So that's Eastern time, so that would be 12:30 to 2 here. No, I'm sorry, 2:30 to, yeah, I can make that.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. And I'm going to be sending out that. I wanted to check with you first because I'm going one by one. So I dealt with the EdExchange group because, they have breakouts, and I worked on their agenda, and then I worked on geocode, and now I'm going to work on, the JSON task force, figure out who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. But that's the time, and I'll send out calendar invites and make sure that you're dialing in because – even though you won't be able to be there, Michael, you're still the chair, and, you know, you and I will continue to facilitate. Not having you there is shouldn't impact your role.
Yeah.
Even though
I feel better now that we
will miss your beautiful face.
Yeah, right. I feel better now that we've talked to A4L, because I'm really struggling with where we're going to go with this, and at least they've gone down a bunch of different roads that they can help. They've helped us out a lot. I think John and Michael have really provided us a lot of insight, so I really appreciate their help.
Awesome.
Hopefully we can continue to keep them engaged, because that could help us a lot.
Yep, I emailed them this morning.
Great, yep.
All the side work I do to make sure people show up. I apologize last week, you know, I was in Brussels, and I know Jen dialed in and recorded it, but we didn't have Michael doing the little nagging on the side.
Yeah. Need to nag, exactly.
Yes, I call it the chief evangelist.
Yep.
How does that sound then? For next Monday, we kind of have a good homework assignment. We'll start talking about the rules. I'll put out an email, and we'll go from there.
Great.
Yep.
Sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good. I think we have the JSON that was produced from a high school transcript, but I don't think the XML and the JSON matches. So if Sam, I'll send a note to Sam and see if he can provide a copy of the XML and a JSON that was produced by their system.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And while you're at it, ask him to make sure he dials in next Monday.
Yep. Great.
Okay.
I will send it to him.
Awesome.
Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Anything else? Nope. Okay. We're good, Mike?
I think we're good. Is John, did you ever come back?
I see him on the computer. He might just
I see him on the computer, too, but I don't. He probably lost his audio.
He might have lost his audio. Okay.
Yep.
All right, Michael and everybody, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Leaving the meeting.
Mei Han from Stanford.
Leaving the meeting.
Mike.
Leaving the meeting.
Steve Marganow.
Leaving.